You're listening to Thunder Quack Podcast Network.
The Green Arrow Podcast. This is our 11th episode for season 4 for the Arrow episode entitled AWOL. I am one of your co-hosts, Amanda Konkin, and with me is special guest
Andy B from the Flash Podcast, as the Green Arrow of Quiver Podcast is busy moving, so the Flash has to come in and save the day.
Yeah, so Mike is MIA today. He is very congratulations. I think everybody should send congratulations to Michael. Woo! He's officially a homeowner. Yay, Mike! Woo! So him and Crystal are moving in this week, and obviously that is a lot of work. So unfortunately, he's unable to be with us this week, but I'm really excited. Part of the DC Podcast Network, Andy sort of helming that with the Flash Podcast, and we're really excited to be a part of that network with Quiver and all the other awesome, I think, what is it? We have Legends of Tomorrow and Supergirl, right?
We have Quiver Podcast, we have the Flash Podcast, we have Legends of Gotham, and we have Supergirl Radio, we have Legends of Tomorrow Podcast, and we now also have DC Movies Podcast. So we have 6 shows on the network, which is pretty awesome.
That's crazy. All your DC needs. So it's really excited. So, you know, Quiver all over the place, and really excited that Andy could be here. And it'll be a little different. We're going to try it. We're going to do the same stuff. So we're still going to watch the episode. Appreciate you being able to.
I'm happy to do. This is where I live. I live for podcasting. So it's totally game for it.
Exciting. Well, to start us off, we'll keep stuff pretty regular here. We've got a bunch of emails this week, which is actually great. And something too, just so people know, we're hoping to sort of switch things up a little bit with Quiver for this second half of the season, where we're actually hoping that we'll record on Thursdays rather than Wednesdays, just to give people a little bit of time to send us their feedback on episodes. Also, I mean, for like our own personal scheduling stuff, it just is going to probably work better for us to do it that way.
Win-win for everybody.
It is. It's an added bonus, because I really think that, I mean, one of the things that I miss out is that we only get people like that are watching it like right away on the East Coast that can send stuff in. And now I think we'll have a little bit more time. People can digest the episodes a little bit and then send us their feedback. So some of the most interesting things I get are just tweets like the next day with people like commenting on things. So I'm excited. So that'll be good that we'll hopefully open that up to like a few more emails from people as we move forward. Yeah. And that being said, why don't you start us off? So we did send Andy an email to read for us. Yeah. So if you want to start it off, Andy, that'd be great.
And of course. So this is from Sarah Bev, who wrote, "Hi, Amanda and Mike. Hope all is well. So I have a question. Is Overwatch an existing character or made up just for Felicity? Also, now that there's been a mention of Oracle, does that mean that she can show up and we can have a Birds of Prey spinoff? It would be amazing. Finally, Waller is gone. That was a shock. But did the writers do that because of the movies just like Deadshot? So far, Felicity is still killing it, in my opinion, but I still feel like it is only a matter of time before Felicity finds out about Oliver's son, and it's all over between them. I hope not, but we will see. Thanks for taking the time to make this podcast. You all are awesome. Sarah Beth." Thank you, Sarah Beth. I'm sure Mike thanks you from distance. Amanda, do you know what the reference is to Spoiler Alerts Overwatch?
No, I totally don't. So I was hoping that this would be something that you might know.
Yes, I do. I know what it is. Okay, so last year, I think, the executive producer and showrunner of Arrow and Legends of Tomorrow, Mark Guggenheim, wrote a novel called Overwatch. Oh. So it's a reference to that book. Also, he did an interview where he said that Overwatch is a reference to, I believe, something in the military that they decided to give Felicity that name for. And So yeah, that's what it is. So it's not a character from what I know. I've never heard of the character Overwatch in the DC universe. You know what? I'm as a matter of fact, I will Google it right now and see
I
if.
just, yeah, I'm just totally trying to Google it too.
Yeah, it
It's a
does.
video game.
Yeah, a
I don't
video game, and
know.
yeah, it's like, yeah, it
But
doesn't.
so it doesn't seem like it's something from DC, but me and Mike I think we talked about this a little bit on the podcast, or perhaps just in our own spare time, I can't remember. But just about the idea about how we're like a little bit upset that it's not just Oracle, right? Like this idea that why can't we, because she is essentially, in my opinion, at least from watching this episode for sure, she is essentially Oracle. And so I'm just like curious actually about your opinion, whether or not you feel it's a disservice to the existing DC universe to not honor like that character that already exists, or if it's okay that we just are creating this sort of new character for the show.
I will say that I am one of the people that think it was a very good decision to not give her the name Oracle, because for me, here's the thing. Oracle is not a legacy character. A legacy character, in my opinion, and from what I understand, is when someone has there's multiple characters that have gone by the same title, like Green Lantern, The Flash, Robin, and so on. Those are legacy characters. But there's only one Oracle. That was something Barbara Gordon gave to herself after she got injured. Spoiler alert in The Killing Joke when the Joker shot her and paralyzed her forever. And I'm totally fine that they're not calling it Oracle, because the thing is, yes, there are a couple similarities. They're both hackers. They're now, or she Oracle was paralyzed, Felicity's now paralyzed, and so on. But the thing is, Felicity Smoke is already a character in the DC universe, and that's and I love the fact that Arrow was able to bring that minor character from the Firestorm mythology and make her into such a full-fledged character that, even though she is very much of a Chloe Sullivan, she's become her own character, and that's why I think it was good that they gave her own code name, and they gave her, like, now Overwatch is her thing. So like it, when because she is now in the New 52 timeline. They brought in the Arrow version of Felicity into the DC universe, and if they ever decide to call it Overwatch, it's like that's her thing. So I think that it's good that they didn't give her someone else's name. I especially if it had been something like, let's say for fun thing, let's say she would have been Batgirl. That's fine, because there's been multiple Batgirls. There's been Stephanie Brown, Betty Kane, and Barbara Gordon. So, and Cassandra Cain. So that's fine. But in this case, I'm like, I would have been so angry with the showrunners if they had given her the Oracle name. And then there's another, and there's a good question in this, in it. Does this mean that Oracle now exists in this universe, and could we have a Birds of Prey spin-off? Well, I will tell you this, Sarah, personally, I would love a Birds of Prey spin-off, because I think we have, like, look at all the members. We have Black Canary, we have White Canary, we have Hawk Girl, we have Nyssa, who should totally be a Bird of Prey, and we also have a Speedy, we have Overwatch, and there's been some talks that maybe Lady Blackhawk will be coming to Legends tomorrow, so that's another character, and they have Katana, so they pretty much have all these amazing female characters on these shows, and also we have Iris West and we have Caitlin Snow, so it's like, I think a Birds of Prey spin-off should have, and also Vixen is coming in soon, like, look, they're just coming and coming, there's so many
Yeah,
of them.
there's yeah.
Would
It would
you
be
want?
sweet. Oh,
Yeah.
of course, of course. I don't. The thing is, and this always happens though when Mike and I talk about this stuff, is that I don't have the same sort of visceral connection with the source material that a lot of people do, because I didn't grow up with it in the same way that a lot of people did. So
You see
my,
the original TV show?
well, I mean, no. I think I saw like an episode and thought it was terrible, because that was like what? That was in the 90s, right?
No,
The
that was in 2003.
Oh, really? Well, okay. It seemed 90s to me.
And
But,
I
like,
think it came from the small people too.
yeah, I don't know. But see, that's the thing, is that my connection with this stuff is only through, like, Smallville and television and things like that. So I give them a lot more leeway to create things. And I know that the essence of Birds of Prey would be really sweet. And I'm really hoping, I mean, the thing is, though, too, I really want some of these great characters to stay on Arrow. Like, this was one of our things we were talking about last week, is that we keep losing all the greatest characters to other shows. And it sort of waters down Arrow a little bit,
Well,
right?
I'm sorry we had to take Barry away from
I
you.
know. You know what? I'll never forgive it. It's
Okay,
Flash.
it's It had to happen, though. But I get that, you know, because you guys lost, you guys didn't get to keep Ray,
Yeah.
and Sarah, and you know. But hey, for us on the Flash, you know, and it's like, we're talking about as we are like running these shows and stuff. But it's like I don't have Firestorm anymore to talk about on
That's
the
true.
podcast. I don't have
And Captain
Martin,
Cold.
Captain. See, that's what's killing me, because there was an interview recently when Mark Guggenheim said that these characters that are on Legends of Tomorrow are probably not going to go back to their respective series in a very long time. And I'm like, we got Victor Garber, and you took away Victor Garber from us. You can't just give us Wentworth Miller and then taking him away. And you
Yeah.
can't. It's killing me. I totally get it. Now, the other thing, though, does that mean that she can show up, or that she exists in this universe? You know, not necessarily. You know, they could be. Maybe, you know, like, they've always given us some subtle nods to that there could be a bat family somewhere out there.
Right.
We know Wayne Industries exists in this universe, because in 2024, like, if you remember in the Flash pilot, in the newspaper, Wayne Tech and Queen Consolidated merger complete. So
Right,
we
yeah.
know a Wayne exists in this universe, and probably Bruce Wayne, unless this is the
Yeah.
Flashpoint universe.
They do, I don't know, they do a lot of stuff like that where you hope that eventually stuff comes and goes. I'm just excited, and I think this episode, I mean, I'll talk about it a lot when we get into the episode and sort of watch it as it goes. Is just finding out what Felicity will be or could be as a character. And I think that that's really interesting in and of itself. So as much as I might be sort of harping on names and titles and who she is, I mean, we know that she's an homage to Oracle. Like, she can't not be when you take source material that's so relevant and so prominent and do a similar thing on a DC show. So we know that there's that homage, and I'll let it sort of be, and basically give them the space to play with it, and hopefully do a real service to that character and honor who Felicity is and who she is on this show and what she could be. So
Yeah,
that's what I'm hoping.
but I think this is a good name for her, because she does watch over them a lot, and I think that's a perfect name, honestly. And the other part she asked, and I guess we will talk about it in the episode about Waller's death, you know, was because of the movies. And I guess, you know, we can talk about it in the actual episode.
Speculate, yeah.
Yeah.
That was the one thing though, and I mean, I guess I will talk about it when it comes out there. I love it when deaths are just not debatable. She got shot in the head, right? And so
Yeah.
you've got to figure out like it, and I mean, it's one of these things where like I'll have very little faith in them if they sort of are like, just kidding, it was a special effect. She planned it,
It wasn't a real
right?
Amanda Waller. It was just a
A
doll or
dummy,
something.
right? Because it just takes away the stakes of episodes. And that's already something that we talked about with season three. And why we were so critical of it is because it did take away so many stakes when you kill Oliver and then have him come back and all
Yeah,
those.
or kill him and just give him urban. I will never get over the fact that he just had to drink some urban
I know.
freaking tea and
Yeah,
be
and
like,
then
you
he's
know,
fine.
yeah, I'm fine. I'm like, no, that's you got sliced through your stomach, pushed down off a cliff, lie there in snow, shirtless for at least 2 hours or something, and you survive. Like,
Yeah,
no,
no, it's
no.
which I mean, speaking of our criticalness in season three, I'm actually going to jump back into another email.
Okay.
So this time this is an email from Janie Mulder. So hi Janie. I
Hello.
don't know if I've heard from Janie before. But anyway, so this is Janie's email. Hey guys, as soon as this episode was over, I thought, I wonder if Mike and Amanda liked it. I thought it was great. I always appreciate when Arrow slows down the action for a bit in favor of character beats. But then again, I've been a lot more positive this season than you. After the mess of season three's last half, I think the show has done a remarkable job of rebounding, with the exception of all the legend setup and the increasingly superfluous flashbacks. But you guys have been really negative on the podcast lately. Just wondering if this episode was enough to turn you around, or if last year soured you on the show completely. So thank you, Janie. That was her email, and I sort of want to pair this. I feel like maybe we were just really negative last week because I also got a tweet from somebody that was like Bob tweeted us and said, "I enjoyed your podcast for 3+ seasons. Unfortunately, now it's just you nitpicking it to death. I'll miss you guys." So like someone,
Wow,
they just feel as
Bob
though
being harsh.
we're sort of being like, I know we are super critical on the show, and I think a lot of it was maybe just from last season, but I mean, it's our job to be critical. We can't just sort of like love it and say, yeah, this was great. But I mean, what she's saying was true. I think this episode had a lot of character moments. And
oh,
I think
yes.
That's always something that Mike and I have been really in favor of, is that when you can take these core characters and make them interesting and give their relationships meaning, it makes it more exciting for us, right? And one thing that we are sort of critical of is sometimes the action for action's sake, right? Like they have a very specific formula where they have their action beat and then story beat and then action beat and then story beat. But
as great as they are, because Arrow does the most amazing action scenes on television. Like, it's, so I just want to point that out. Like, even though sometimes there is too much, it's always enjoyable and entertaining action scenes to watch.
That's true. And I really do, the more and more, as I'm seeing just Canary and Arsenal and, or wait, Speedy.
Yeah, Black Canary and Speedy.
Yeah, and Ollie just all together and constantly in their costumes looking really cool. There was a lot of those beats in this episode, and I thought that was really cool. Like, I'm getting more into a groove where they are a team, and those are always the things I really enjoy. And this, I think this email, like, bounces really well off of the conversation we just had about Felicity, in the sense that I think if they develop her character well enough, I'll be a little bit kinder to it. Again, I just feel like this show has had to compromise this year to favor other things. And I'm hoping for the second half of the season that it'll start to honor itself more and its story.
Exactly.
And I think this episode was the first place to doing that, where they really, first of all, the flashbacks were gone, right? Instead, we had Diggle flashbacks, which were great, right?
Yeah.
They were very story-based and sort of came back around. And the thing that I think is the greatest, when we actually watch the episode, we can get more into this, it's making all these flashbacks a little bit more relevant, as we notice, what is it, Ryder came into this episode near the end in the flashbacks, right?
Oh yeah, he came in one of the last few minutes of the episode. So
yeah, so I mean, Mike's not here to give his opinion, but I'm hoping that we'll be a little bit gentler on the show. Again, we're as gentle or as mean as we need to be to the show, based on sort of what we, our visceral reactions to it. Which, again, might change now that we are giving ourselves a little bit of time to let the episodes breathe.
Exactly. So, something if I may, to point out is that, as Bob, as Bob was tweeting to you about that and so on, it's like, it's not about being a negative or positive and so on, because look, on the, even on the Flash podcast, shameless plug, by the way, we can't always love everything we see. Sometimes we're not going to agree with writers' moves and so on. Like, for example, one of the things that I have not enjoyed about season 2 of the Flash so far is the character of Patty Spivot. Yeah, it's, everyone seems to love her, and it's like, I walk into a room, and I'm like, I don't like Patty, and everyone goes, we love Patty! But to me, I did not enjoy the character, but that doesn't mean that I hate the actress. I'm sure Chantel Van Zanten, who plays Patty, I heard only good things about her, and she had her moments as Patty, but I didn't like the writing, and I didn't like her role in the show. But that doesn't mean that we're just nitpicking or being negative, so it's just that we're being critical. If we're just sitting there saying, oh, everything is great, I love everything about everything in any show, we don't need to do a podcast, because then we could just tweet about it. And I'm actually borrowing, because I know Mike and I, we were conversing with someone on Twitter last month when they were pointing out that I was being very critical about Patty, and we were both saying that, look, it's about us and being negative and hating on Patty and Felicity. I'm like, we were both saying that, no, if the writing is done well, then, you won't hear us being negative and so on. Like, when we're being critical, it's because we want to see these characters be treated well, with respect, and the best they can be. So
we hold them to a standard, and we love them so much, and we want it to be so good, I think.
Yeah, for example, I don't want to hate or dislike something for the sake of hate and disliking, Bob, if you ever get to listen to this and you still decide to tune out, you're missing out on a great podcast then.
Aw, thanks, Andy.
Yeah, you're
for every negative tweet though, we get better, like, the more thought out and exciting emails. Like, for example, I mean, we're, we we don't have time to read many more, but like we got someone from someone named Daniel who just basically said the exact opposite of Bob, going like, wow, you guys have been able to stay so positive with these like crappy episodes. So, you know, it's all opinion, right? And the reason that we do this is to start conversations amongst the fans, right? We want to have conversations. We want to figure out what people like and what people don't like, and you know, just start a dialogue. So I'm really excited to get more emails, and thank you to everybody who emailed us this week. And you know, you can always email us mail@quiverpodcast.com. And like I say, moving forward, hopefully we'll have a little bit of a breathing room between episodes, so you can start sending us more mail. And always, you know, short and sweet emails that have interesting things for us to talk about will get read. So
and also
thank you.
And also be polite. Remember that.
Yeah, be polite. No, you know what? Sometimes we like those negative ones. I think we did like a whole thing where we just had somebody that was like wrote us a scathing email, and we're like, we're gonna read this. I don't know. I feel like that was in like the early seasons. We like it. That was the thing I think that we've said a long time ago, or in the first little bit, that we just really want people to disagree with us, because that's sometimes where the best conversations come from. But you have to have a reason for it, right? Like, just don't be negative for the sake of being negative.
Yeah.
But
or don't
right?
attack the people talking about it.
And I want to know, I don't want to know why, right? Yeah. Like, that's the thing. Like, I don't care if people think we're being negative, because, you know, we are sometimes. Yeah. But I'd like to know why you think that the episode warrants less negativity, and therefore it allows us to have a better understanding of maybe what we're missing. Because I mean, obviously, like, we don't know everything. We are just like watching the episode and going based on our gut instinct, and there's always a lot of things that I'm really interested to see sort of what different people get out of different episodes. Hence one of the reasons I'm excited to now watch this episode with you.
Yes.
Someone different, a different kind of an opinion. Yeah. And speaking of, there's lots of stuff that we can say, but we can maybe dive right into the episode to start watching it.
Yeah.
And then get a good idea of how things are going to go.
Yeah, but thank you everyone for the emails. If you know, if I may just channel my mic here and so on and say that I think you should totally send emails like that, you know, that, you know, where you can have good conversation with the host and so on, because yes, we may not always agree, but you know, But it's good
it's
that
good
it's yeah, it's a isn't what is it like they say, film and TV is subjective. And
oh yeah.
Because if everything was just the same, if everyone felt the exact same way, oh my god, this world would be so boring to live in. I mean, I would be so happy to move to Mars just to get like a different community to live with, because they're totally Martians there. So
of course.
Yeah.
And so, do you guys have an email for the pod, the Flash podcast?
Yes, the Flash. Exactly. Yeah, theflashpodcast@gmail.com. Okay, so guys, this is my first time doing a commentary. Like, I've never done this before, so I'm going to be a total newbie with this. So if I'm not able to do it as good as Mike, I'm sorry.
No. We'll just talk about stuff. It'll be good in.
Yeah. Okay, how about it? I say 1, 2, 3, and then play.
Sure, go.
1, 2, 3, play.
Yay, playing the episode. So we're starting with the...
Previously on.
Yeah, previously on with Diggle. And you can sort of tell that it's going to be
a character-centric
episode when you sort of start with the relationship-buildy parts of the episode, right? When they're like, remember this relationship problem that we're having between these two characters?
All these characters have relationship problems. Like, heck, the show is right now centered around a relationship. So...
Yeah. I guess so.
I love Lila. Look at her and Diggle.
They're okay, so I don't know what you think, but I like keep waiting for the turn. Like, I just keep waiting to be like, what's wrong with Lila? Like, what's gonna happen? She's either like, is she gonna die? Is she gonna be evil? What's going on?
What do you mean, so, what's wrong with Lila?
I don't know. I just feel like it's too good to be true. I'm like, they're like,
wow, you're so like, optimistic bro. About love, am I?
No, it's terrible.
This guy is wanting them, and oh no, a truck. Or a van.
The van, when you're like, oh, okay, this guy is like totally dead. I don't actually remember. Was this actor somebody that we had encountered previously as like a guy that was working?
I don't know. I don't remember. Look, they're just pulling his body. They're just letting his body roll.
Oh, yeah. I thought Diggle was surely going to die. But, you know.
Well, it's too early for anyone to die. We still have 4 months before those damn flashbacks.
I guess so. Fair.
Okay, you know what's sad? It's the fact that... Okay, so we just saw the Shadow Spire. And you know what's sad? Is that they have better helmets than Diggle. It's sad when your supervillains are having better gear up than your hero.
I don't know, maybe they're like a little bit more concerned about keeping themselves like secret because they're bad.
Well, also looking good because Ziggle's helmet just looks like crap. I'm sorry. Every time, oh, Oliver carrying her down.
This is the thing that's interesting about this is that it sort of points out the obvious that like it's not easy to get around this apartment. So I wonder like how they're going to deal with that, right? Because if everything is upstairs, like they have this gorgeous apartment, but if it's up the stairs, like how do you deal with that, right? Going up and down the
Yeah,
stairs.
like there's no way they can build an elevator or something.
Well, I mean, they probably will. This is actually something that I actually kind of wanted to talk a little bit about this, is like the actual implications of having a lead character on a popular television show that's dealing with a spinal cord injury, right? And this idea of like how does this impact her everyday life? Do they address it? And they do sort of like a little bit here. They keep talking. I mean, this whole episode I think is about her trying to figure out where she fits in and how her like how she can be a part of the team and things like that.
No.
And one thing that I was going to talk about when we got to the end of it, because she, right here, she's just going through her whole, I don't know if I can come back and I don't know what's going on. And that's what this whole episode is about, right? Is what happens? How do you bounce back from something like this? How do you figure out who you are and the job that you were at before? How does that work?
Exactly.
And near the end of it, something that I like that they acknowledged, and they said it very kindly, and I can sort of maybe point out it when it comes, is the idea that he said, I understand that you have a spinal cord injury and it is not curable, and that is fine, and we will live with that. At the same time, we live in a magical world, and I'll keep trying to help you. So
Yeah.
it's because I know that there was a lot of problems when Barbara Gordon, who was Oracle, they did a whole arc where she actually got out of the chair. And people were really upset about that because it sort of undermined the everything that they had built, all the strength of that character.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And that's why for me, I've always said, I said this in my reviews on TVO or mine, that I, and this is going to sound so cruel, but I hope she never gets cured. I hope she never gets to walk again. I think this is something because, look, all these characters on the show has gone through something horrible. They've gone through something that has changed her life or something. And this is Felicity's first time actually suffering something that she cannot hack her ways out of.
Yeah,
So.
and it doesn't, and yeah, and the great thing is it's just making her a different kind of person. It's not in any
Yeah.
way deterring from her ability to be a part of the team in the same way that she was before. And I'm
Exactly.
really excited to see how they sort of deal with that.
He gets a cheeseburger while wearing a cage. That's the hel most hilarious thing ever.
Yeah, so here we have that first little bit of so them just having they what they had their sort of like little meeting before going off and just like
Like
what's going on with Diggle. Diggle got
big.
shot, and then
I want a big belly burger in the real world.
they do look delicious. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't really eat. I don't eat beef, but they look delicious
They
still.
look.
So
You don't need beef?
I don't know. Super random factoid of the day. No, but I love chicken. I eat chicken burgers all the time.
Okay.
And veggie burgers,
Now I'm
but
hungry.
I love when yeah I know me too. I love when Felicity was wearing that big belly burger like outfit. I think that that was one of the coolest things. Like way back in I don't
Season
know like
one.
season one, it was fun.
Yeah.
Anyways, so
But
our first oh
these two
great
are.
and our first flashback.
Yeah, no more stupid freaking island for a while. They look so cute together, brother and brother. Diggle, oh my god, Diggle is so tall.
He is, yeah. That's it's
And
actually quite funny.
I have stood next to I have stand next to the man also. I did
Really? Oh.
yeah, at Comic-Con, his arms are so big.
They look great and
Dude,
ginormous. I love it.
they do look great.
I love that these sand things that they always drive through are like the exact same like one patch of like sandy place that we have. It's like, look, this could be
So
Afghanistan.
where is this in Vancouver, by the way?
Oh God, I have no idea. It's probably like the quarry or something. I'm sure there's a quarry somewhere that does something. We've got a lot of different places. So one thing I like is that they keep, this is like what I liked about the flashbacks when they were like good, is that have characters and through lines in these characters. So not only does this flashback with the Diggles help us get forward in all these flashbacks near the end of it with introducing Ryder, but it also this guy, whoever this guy is, that's the villain basically for present day, right?
Yeah,
Shadow.
Shadow Spire's lieutenant or something. Oh, David Remnant looks so good in a uniform.
He does. It's great. He could look good in a paper bag though. So like let's not kid ourselves. It's fine.
He can look good in anything. And if it's not obvious to our listeners, I think we all have a crush on David Ramsey.
He's lovely.
He's
It's
delish.
I'm glad that he's made it this far, right? Like, he's really established himself. Like, he is part of Arrow. He's definitely here for the long haul.
I still wonder if he's gonna die at the end of the season because.
Yeah, because we know somebody has to. I don't know. I just think it would be a waste. I just
don't want Laurel to die. That's all. I love Laurel. Yeah. I'm a huge Black Canary fan. I love Laurel and I love Katie Cassidy. And I think that the way she's been treated on this show, she should not get killed off. She should get more. And see, now we see Felicity dealing with the new change and so on because like she can't move as quickly and so on.
Yeah, and the pills thing. So this is definitely the first, like, something that you deal with, that this is a real thing. And we've dealt with addiction a lot of times on this show, right? And how different characters deal with, you know, different substances.
Uh-oh, she's hearing something. And who is it? Let's build up some suspense. She's hearing something. A woman voice. We've heard a voice before. From where? Yeah, where have we heard that? Who is it? Is it Donna Smoke? No. Is it Shadow? No. Is it Huntress? No. It is.
Think of this way of dealing with her sort of coming, like this idea of like her having legitimate like hallucinations.
Mm-hmm.
What do you, I don't know. I'd be interested to see.
There she is.
Your opinion on that. Like, do you think, like, was that a good way to deal with Felicity going through this stuff? Like,
yes.
Her younger self?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's good because she's getting now to do a retrospective on herself about where she is now. Because she has changed so much throughout these years. And also prior to when Arrow started.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, that's true.
Now Laurel is at the scene.
With this dude that's totally just been obliterated. And something I love, wait, have we seen the flash close up of his face yet? Oh no, it's when Diggle comes here, what they're like examining the body and figuring out like what's up with his body, and we see the close up of his face and his eye is just like totally like gouged out.
Ugh.
It's just like so gross. So here they can see like the arms and that like he was tortured and trying to figure out like what it is that's going on with him. And then there you go. They close up.
Ugh, oh. Gross. Like, this is even more gross. And then Slade took off his eye patch and showed up.
And here we go. Commercials, our first bout. I have to do this. Mike usually does the commercial flipping. So I've got to. Oh, here we're back now. Yay. Hopefully I did a good enough job. I feel like my computer is like.
Network at Argus.
Argus, seeing everybody, and Amanda Waller, who's soon to be dead. Anyways.
Wow. Spoiler alert if you haven't seen this episode. If you're watching this
for the
first time.
Podcast, if you haven't seen the episode, you should watch the episode. And then listen. I know. I feel bad.
And Lila and Waller.
I don't know. This is the thing, is that like because Waller left them. I guess I didn't realize this. I feel like I thought that Waller, or that Lila was still with Argus a while ago.
They always seem to have. Oh, they stole a little USB.
Okay, well, I thought that too, but then she says later that Waller gave it to her, right?
Oh, she reached out her hand and.
Yeah, and so she like is like they knew that somebody was like spying on her or anything, but anyway, so we're back to the Felicity flat like hallucinations things, and I just think it's like an interesting way to deal with this, right? That we actually are, because we're in television land, we can actually like personify hallucinations and this conversation that she's having. Like, this is a very intense thing to actually straight up hallucinate somebody. It's not as if they're sort of playing with the idea that she's talking to her younger self and dealing with emotions of being her younger self. She's actually hallucinating her younger self, which I think is just like an interesting extreme to go to for this.
Now so. I just want to make sure that, because I saw people being a little bit confused on Twitter. They thought it was because of the pill she was taking. I don't think it was. Those were just painkillers, I think. But it was not because of the pills. I think she was just seeing it herself because she had gone through the trauma.
Well, no, this is what she actually read the pill bottle just then and was like, oh, these give you hallucinations. So I feel like they were.
Oh, okay.
This is what I mean. I would have forgiven it a little bit more had she just been straight up being like, I'm going to deal with the trauma I just faced by having a conversation with my younger self. Instead, she's actually having a conversation with her younger self because it's a hallucination, like a drug-induced hallucination, as opposed to like a reflection on who she used to be. I don't know.
Now we're back to
it's a fine line, but. Yeah, back at the other flashbacks, so I've talked way over. So they found out, what did they find out on that little USB? They found out that the spire, I guess, is coming back, and it meant something to Diggle, right? Basically, he's going back and being like, I remember this guy now who's now offering them the opportunity to go AWOL before the morning and get some drugs. I don't know if that. So we're getting some nefarious deeds, although it's not quite, I'm not quite clear on what this guy's endgame is. Is he just like a bad guy for the sake of being a bad guy?
I think they were just like, we need to take a break from Damien Dark and we just need to bring in someone random. I'm not familiar with Shadow Spire that much. And
From the comics?
Yeah,
is
it's, it from, like a... it's from the comics.
But and they're just like bad guys.
Yeah, well, they have Shadow in their name. I assume. Right. Now we're back to the present, and Brother Diggle is in. Oh no, Diggle is angry. Diggle is angry at Diggle.
Diggle's angry at Diggle. Right, so they found out what Shadow Spire is, right, and that that you know, conveniently, it all comes full circle when they're all in town together. So,
Diggle is the type of man you don't want to make him upset. Like, not that he's gonna like kill you or anything like that, but it's like you don't want to disappoint him. You always want to make him proud. So like when he's yelling right now, I'm like, I know, like I won't. And if I was in that world, I would never want to make him disappoint.
Never disappoint Diggle.
Yeah, hashtag don't disappoint Niggle.
Aw.
DDD.
Yeah. It's good. They're doing a lot of, they've done a lot of these sort of cage conversations between the two of them. And I'm actually always really impressed by the caliber of these two actors, right? Like the two that are having these sort of really interesting and character-driven conversations without having much to sort of go on.
This is like the third episode they're doing together, because there was that one episode in season two and season three that when they did flashbacks. And then this is like the second episode they're working together. And but they still have such a believable chemistry of they're brothers, and they're like they talk to each other as brothers, and they're as brutally honest as they can be. It doesn't feel like, you know, I'm still getting to know you.
Yeah, which is great. And so this is, what is that? The information that he gave them there was that the best way to hide illegitimate things.
We've cut now to the characters outside. And we saw a bad shot of Diggle's helmet, and it's like it looks. And I love when Black Canary and Green Arrow gets to stand together.
It is pretty great. So they're all out trying to figure out what's going on and fight some bad guys. And then they don't know what to do, so they call Felicity.
I just noticed that Felicity's now working on two laptops. And okay,
you just have two laptops at home, obviously.
Yeah. I figured, like, you know, wouldn't they just bring over some of the advanced computers? That just looks like it's going to be more stressful.
Well, I feel like she's trying really hard to not actually work, and then she's like, "Oh, I need an extra computer, though. I can't just work on one."
Exactly, like like two Felicities, two computers.
And so, having these conversations, so with her younger self, basically her younger self telling her that she's kind of not fit for this, or that she doesn't know who she is, or to I don't know.
You can tell that her game is really, really off.
Right. Oh, right, because she can't open this lock. That's what happens, right? Like, she's trying to get them inside someplace, and she's not able to. I don't know. I can't. Oh, yeah, this lock.
God, Felicity, you're just looking like, you know, oh, God, is this what I will become?
She's not a real.
That is such a bad helmet, Diggle. I'm sorry, baby. Sorry, babe, it's just so bad.
Okay. And so they find this, whatever, they found that dead guy, and now they're having to get out.
I can tell you this, though, by the way, they are going to upgrade his helmet from Team Flash. So
nice.
You're welcome. No, I'm kidding. Okay. It's Cisco. Cisco takes care of everything.
Really? Nice. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he does it. It's a joke at this point. Like, Diggle has been caught.
Oh, right. So, this is what happens, right? The container closed, because we all know that shipping containers are remotely controlled. Mm-hmm. And we get this guy who, this is now, I think, the first time we reveal him in present day, yeah? And so him sort of being like, have I met you before? You have a helmet on. I can't tell who you are. And Ollie having to blast his way out of this container and now punching people and Felicity being all sad about it. I don't know. Anyways, so this is again, I guess Felicity's big turn. So I'm gonna fast forward through the commercials here. But the idea that like she wasn't actually able to help them with the things that they needed help with. So her trying to figure out, is this worth it? Does she need some help? Does she need to be a part of the team? So back into it now, with this beautiful cityscape and Felicity looking out over the lights of the city, contemplating her failure.
I wonder if she's going to get a more advanced wheelchair at some point. Like,
I was actually thinking about her wheelchair, and it actually seems super practical. I think it's like a good chair. I don't know. Because when she's out of it and it's just like sitting around, I don't know. I like it.
Well, it looks... Now, yeah, they just, like, you know, she just circled around, and I'm like, well, it's a regular wheelchair. I was thinking one of those more advanced ones, like, you know, hey, you know what? Sisko could build her one.
Yeah, I guess so. And then she'd be like superhero because of the chair.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway, so this is a good conversation. I think there's some people that wrote, there's a couple other emails we got, and some people were really interested in the idea that this relationship, their relationship, Felicity and Oliver, that they really understood it after this episode. That there's really some good things that are happening here, that Ollie understands a little bit about Felicity, and we get that Felicity like understands him too, right? They both, like, Ollie thinks it's his fault that she's in the chair, and he feels bad that he pushed her to get back in the game, and now he knows that she feels, like, they just anticipate each other's sort of emotions before they experience them, and then they try to help.
Exactly.
Which I guess is good. So this is the first sort of, like, this is the, I think the only time actually in the episode, right, where this hallucination actually becomes, like, a serious...
Oh, yeah, no, it's exactly, because now... That scene must have been so much fun for Emily Bennett Ricardo to film, because they're talking at the same time and Felicity just looking at. Oh, this is such a fun... I'm so... I should not be laughing. It's horrible, but it's like, look at God, Felicity just like, you know,
being so crazy. She's...
And now she went cray cray.
Yeah, but that is I do enjoy her portrayal of her younger self, right? How sort of snarky and how she's playing it not as a hallucination, right? But she's like a character, right? So in this episode, this young Felicity gets to be a character.
Yeah.
Which I'm a little bit disappointed that we didn't do like an actual flashback again.
I think it's gonna come later.
Okay.
I don't know anything, but I would not be surprised if it happens at some point.
Where you actually get to see her. And so we've brought Little Diggle to Argus because he knows
Little Diggle.
Little Diggs. Because he knows about
Little Diggs.
Yeah, right? Because he knows about the bad guy. Shadowspire. So he wants to figure out what's going on with Shadowspire. Which is, you know, good. I don't remember how he got brought there or why, but I guess they just decided, right? Because he knew stuff.
Anna Diggle wasn't with Shadowspire. He was with Hive, wasn't he?
Well, that's sort of what I'm... I think it was just from the time that he was on this base that they're flashing back to or something. I don't know. I think he's just had a lot of nefarious connections, and that's sort of what's going on right now. And what are they talking about? They're talking about rail guns that are happening. Is that what they're trying to... They're trying to find rail guns, and that's why these agents are getting killed, and now we're trying to figure out why more people... Oh, Andy's saying here that that's actually not why.
So. What do you know, little digs?
Right? So you get this first idea, right? That he says that they're all about misdirection, and that it's not to heist these rail guns. It's actually for something bigger, and it's a distraction. But do we listen to him? Spoiler: no, they don't listen to him, because the rest of the episode goes terribly.
Laurel
awry.
Oliver training scene. Finally,
they're great.
Canaro hashtag Canaro.
#Canaro. I don't know if I've ever heard that one before.
I came up with it last year, and I think I was one of the first accounts to start using it, and people then followed with it.
Nice. Canaro. But it's good. I think the one thing that I really enjoy about these two relationship is that they really do get each other in a different way. I don't know. Felicity and Ollie's relationship is one thing, and then I think Laurel and Ollie's relationship is something that's a really nice counterpoint.
Sorry for laughing, but Oliver just told her about the time travel.
Oh yeah, that was great, right? When she, because she didn't understand. Oh right, she forgot about it. Oh, so this I really liked about this episode is that they're sort of bringing a lot of things full circle. Because I thought they were sort of going to drop. There didn't seem to be a ton of consequences with the time travel, right? When basically Ollie changed the world without sort of knowing that he changed the world because Barry helped him with who was Vandal Savage at the beginning of the season. And this is one of those first implications that maybe the reason that things go terribly awry with Felicity. Oh man, no, it's totally true, right? Because if they had broken up, then Felicity wouldn't have been proposed, they wouldn't have been in that car together, and she wouldn't have gotten shot at, and she
Yeah,
wouldn't have
they're
been paralyzed. So this is like a direct,
yeah,
so this
Barry.
is one.
Yeah, Barry is like from this is like putting hashtag I told you so.
She's just saying it, reading The Shining.
The Shining? What? That's a movie, right?
It is, but it's about it's a it, sorry it's a I just got that because it's in the movie, right? It's about him sort of being crazy, right? So that's actually like quite funny, or
Now,
because he sees
okay.
all these things,
God,
hallucinate.
Felicity just pulled the book out of Felicity's hands. Now, what did actually happen? Did she just throw away the book? Do you feel like it?
Well, yeah, I mean that's the thing that I think is really interesting about the way that they're playing these hallucinations is that they're playing it like very character versus character when really it's her head, right? And that's sort of what she says as she throws the book away, right? Saying that it's all in your head and it's me. I can do whatever I want because I'm you. So,
And now, God, Felicity is sitting in the wheelchair. And she's playing with it. She's like, whatever, Felicity, you're so disappointing.
it's I don't know. It's an interesting conversation to have with yourself and how they do it. So anyways, so this idea about pretending and who she is and that this isn't her. And I think I was really worried that what this was going to do was sort of like make Felicity really doubt who she is and what she's doing
And
and
see,
be like,
I don't
oh
want that to happen to her because I'm like, I've always felt that Felicity has always stayed true. She, whatever action she does, whatever decision she does, she stays true to herself. She's never tried to be something that she does she isn't. Like, she's never
Mm-hmm.
tried to kill anyone with a gun, for example, or whatever.
But this here, right, that she's getting a ringside seat to the rest of her life, and she thought she was actually such a badass. Ooh, I like these. Sorry, this shot of the canary and Speedy and Ollie on the top of this
Team Green
container.
Arrow.
I think it's such a cool. Like they just have the best costumes.
Yeah, it's black, red, and green. It isn't like, muted colors anymore.
Yeah. Anyways, so Felicity. Anyways, the thing that I like about Felicity is she came to term, right? She's coming to terms with actually finding out that this is who she is, and that's what I think that's really interesting about these hallucinations because that's what she's doing is she's just trying to like reiterate to herself that she's making the right decisions and that what she's doing for is good. So
Oh, Waller.
she always has such interesting moral standpoints on things.
She has an interesting face too. That's the thing, because when she's moving and talking so well, it's like you don't know what's gonna come out of
It's
it.
very divine.
Right. Look at the shade that little Dig just threw at Big Digs.
And you gotta
Co
love these
co co
cord industries,
yeah,
yeah.
yeah. Even though we will never, it's so unfair that we don't get to use Ted Kord on the show.
Well, but they're using it enough that I feel like if they don't, eventually I'm gonna be mad. Oh, we just look that eye. So you just get the full
Ugh.
crown, right, with the eye.
And I
Man.
decided, and I just decided to start eating a little bit.
Yeah.
If you guys can hear, I'm chewing a little bit. So I will try and chew as quiet as I can.
Chewing in people's ears. I have a buddy that has misophonia. He like literally gets headaches and like it's like causes him physical pain to hear people eat. It's crazy.
Oh, do you
But
wait? Do
it's
you
like
wait?
literally.
Do you have it too?
I do not. No, I
Okay,
do not.
good. Because I was like, oh, I
No,
should probably.
but I'm just like super aware of eating.
Look at those helmets. Why can't you single just take one of them and be like, it's
He's like no.
mine now? And then he goes evil because those are evil helmets.
Lieutenant Joyner, that's his name. I just saw it written. So the bad guy's name has a real name, Lieutenant Joyner. Anyways, and now, so what did Lila do? She like activated a security camera feed. Seems very weird, but anyways, so she
Yeah, like,
activated
you
a
know.
security camera feed so that
Yeah,
Diggle could see what was going on.
it's
It was
called,
kind of fast through
like, if it
commercials.
was me, I would have just, like, gotten, like, an alarm or something.
Yeah, well, that's what you think is normally what that's going to be. I'm back now into the show, but. I'm so much faster than Mike at this commercial thing. I think maybe my TV just like fast forwards faster. Anyways,
Well, girls do mature faster than boys. No, I'm kidding.
yeah, that's
And
totally
people are gonna
gendered.
be like, what did he just say?
Anyway, so he's here. So Joyner is now here for the something called the Rubicon, And trying to figure out what a Rubicon is. I don't know. They never tell us, nor do they really need to let us know. He just shot someone. He's using them all as collateral, basically. Giving her 20 minutes to decide. 20 minutes seems like a lot of time. But I guess it's just
It's actually not. That's like a length of a sitcom episode. And the sitcom episode goes quick.
But it's like the amount of time that Team Arrow needs to get here. So, you know, it's a good amount of time. They're just coming from right across. Anyways, I love this, like, Diggle exposition here where he's, like, rewiring these cameras and sort of explaining what's going on and being like, oh, yeah, I, like, listen to Felicity and therefore I know what's going on with these hardwired cameras. So, I don't know. Basically, what he's going to do is try to transmit, I guess, to Team Arrow so that he can tell them what's going on.
Yeah.
And Little Dig is like, no, I could just help you. Trust me. And then they flash back to the point where
Michael, when you listen to this episode, please put in Little Digs in the episode description. I beg of you.
Little Digs. I don't know. Maybe I should. I'll call him Andy.
No. Call him Little Dig. I think that's cute.
Because he's also younger and like a foot taller or a foot shorter than John. Because John just looks so huge.
He's like seeing Roy. Like, you know, Roy.
No, I don't know. But Roy, I feel like, is legit actually short. I just think that Andy is just short in comparison to John. Because John is just, like,
Speaking of Roy, our bae comes back next week, Amanda.
Yay! I'm excited.
I love Roy so much.
He's great. I miss him. I'm going to see. It's interesting how he's going to fit back into the show, though. So that's going to be something that'll be interesting to watch. And so that flashback sort of proving, right, the idea that Andy and Diggle didn't always, or that John also didn't trust him.
Look at all those veins that Steve Amell's arms have because he's so buff.
The veins on his, like, bone hand. This is great. So the idea that the lair has elevator access and then explaining how she
knew that it had an elevator.
I know, exactly. Yeah, which is great, right? It's convenient. And that she's explaining that.
There was an early foreshadow to this.
Exactly. But I do kind of like it. It does explain, right? It's sort of like setting up stuff, like being like, yes, this is going to be fine. Everything's going to work out. She's going to still be able to be in the lair. And I forgot about Curtis. I feel like he hasn't been around in a while.
Yeah, he hasn't. But he wasn't there last week. He wasn't here this week either.
I want Curtis to come back.
Yeah, Curtis is awesome.
He is.
They should promote him to series regular for next season.
He should just like be a part of Team Arrow. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't mind if he was on The Flash.
If he was... No, yeah. You keep taking all of the main characters from Arrow.
See, that's the curse of being the first show that was created.
Is that you feel like you have the right to take them? Oh, man.
Felicity and Oliver are still talking, and then it's a... You know, this doesn't feel so... Like, even though there is some of this, you know, whole unnecessary Felicity plot, this does feel like a natural... Parts of this episode does feel like a natural Oliver and Felicity dynamic. It doesn't have to be romantically... Oh, yeah. I don't like Felicity as a relationship, but or the romance. But I like when these two have scenes together.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a really great scene just between the two of them, like understanding what it is that they do and why they do what they do, which I think is actually really great. They get each other, and I think that's really great. And that she's giving a speech there, and she wants him to acknowledge it, and he does. So it's really cute. So I liked this little sort of brief moment that they took. And then her realizing that she cannot get up the stairs into this sort of space. But anyways, so luckily, Diggle has managed to hack these security cameras and transmit Argus's signal back to the Arrow Cave.
I just noticed something on Oliver's costume.
Mm-hmm.
That like the chest part, it's a separate piece because he was just wearing something black now.
I think so. There's like a whole bunch of different pieces that go on for it. I think Mike was really explaining it. He was like really excited by the costume at the beginning of the.
I think we all were excited about that new costume because.
Oh yeah.
I got to be in the room when he first debuted in it.
Really? Oh nice.
I was at Comic-Con last year with Lauren and two of my guys from TV Ermine. He came out and I became like a man in a moment. I went as manly as I could be. I screamed so loud, like, you know, yeah. Like, you know, I just wanted to, like, you know, throw beer cans or something and be like, just yeah, F you, this is so awesome. And like that was the one moment when I was straight for a second.
Okay. Just like felt overly manly.
Yeah, but the
But
costume looks so good. That was why. Oh no,
nice.
oh no, Lila.
Yeah, so here basically the idea that Waller, he's saying, Waller, choose, or I'm gonna shoot somebody, and Lila going, well, no, because she doesn't
And
care.
she
And there she
does.
goes, she just got shot in the head. So the idea that basically, like, no matter what, Waller wasn't gonna tell him anything, and he is a smart villain. I like villains like this, right? Like villains that just kind of get it and are like, okay, I'm not gonna waste my time anymore. So we've
She
got.
died with a smirk on her face. That's
Yeah.
we should.
So very Amanda Waller.
I think we need to talk about this death after the episode. I think it's a good discussion we need to have because I think we had Sarah Beth asked us something about this. I think we should talk about it.
Fast forward.
Yeah,
But like
you are faster than Mike in this. Mike, time to step up.
no, it's I think it's my TV. This is a longer commercial break, so it's I'm not back yet, so you
Okay.
know, see. It sometimes works and sometimes doesn't. But now I'm back to the same warehouse with the three of them jumping down and being really cool.
Yeah, like
'Cause
look,
they got there, right? 20 minutes
yeah,
was
and
enough.
now you see the costume that you see once again the color distinct between the green, the black, and the red.
And we've got Overwatch, so that's her first mention of Overwatch,
Oh.
right? So she is now
Overwatch.
in the Arrow Cave while they're on this mission. So you sort of have the evolution. They've gone out now three different times. The first time they went out with Dig, second time without Diggle and without Felicity, and now they're going with everybody.
It made sense that that Oliver was the one to name her.
Oh yeah, which is exciting. I just it's good, it's cute. And here we go. So we didn't get. So what happened basically was that Diggle was really enraged by Lila having a gun at her head and was raging into battle. And Andy said, hey, no, I can help you out. Trust me, bro. And then we didn't see what happened between those. We only come back to see Andy betraying his brother. But of course, we don't actually know what the conversation is. And we are meant to think that he's actually betraying his
Little
brother.
days, you traitor.
I don't know. Did you believe it? Did you think he was actually betraying him, or did you like get
Yeah,
it?
yeah. At the first viewing, I was like, "Oh, I'm officially gonna hate him by the end of this episode." But then
Oh.
he just switched,
He
maybe.
switched? Yeah. I don't know. I feel like they're setting up him to be like
The
D6.
anti-hero. Yeah, like, I think he's gonna be an anti-hero in the bay. He's not gonna make it alive from the scene. I think he's gonna get killed off at some point, but that's just me.
It could be, yeah, I mean,
Oh,
they make you like them so that they can kill them and it means something, right?
exactly.
I don't know. Like why they do
It's
it,
the way his mouth moves sometimes that I'm like, oh my god, he's so evil.
but yeah, he does have like a good evil glare going on. I don't know.
And now we're back to Team Green Arrow. I call him Team Green Arrow. I don't call him Team Arrow anymore.
Okay, well, because he is green. I guess that's the whole
Exactly.
thing. He's now
No,
Green
and
Arrow.
it's also because I'm trying to get a, you know, I'm not trying to please the fans that are like, you know, oh my god, we just want original Team Arrow back, OTA. I'm like, go to hell.
OTA.
Yeah, no, that literally,
Hilarious.
there's a hashtag for that.
I haven't heard that. That's hilarious.
That's because you're busy. You don't have to be on the internet as much as I have to.
Oh,
Oh no, and now Big Diggs has been caught. Big Diggs, little Diggs, sitting in
yeah.
a tree.
Because he came out of the ventilation shaft. I actually didn't like. It was a sweet drop down when he dropped down into the. Because I missed that the first time I watched it. I thought he was just like wandering the halls, and I was like, I thought he was in the ventilation shafts. But you actually see him like jump down into that. It was actually a sweet setup. But anyways, so here you get Lila is actually like straight up gonna let her husband die, which is, you know, good for Lila. I don't know. I really like this, right? This idea that he knows that she would let him die, and he knows that she would let him die, but instead here he specifically told her not to, and they. Think that that's something that she knows he would never ask her to do unless he had a backup plan. I don't know.
You think
I
this is
just feel
stra oh you think the way they're doing like this between each other is strategy basically that they give each
well,
other.
like Lila Diggle understands military and he understands that she cannot give up Rubicon. So he would die for her that. And I think the fact that he tells her that it's okay. She there's like a brief exchange between the two of them, like in their comprehension, in her comprehension of what he's asking, that I think she gets it.
Oh yeah.
Right? And that was 'cause that was something like when he first comes in, like she straight up believes him that he's gonna die because they're gonna kill him. But I think that it's something And she says that to him, right? She says, Rubicon cannot get in the wrong hands. And, like, is very clear about that, is as in, like, I'm going to let you die. So, I don't know.
You see me hacking, they hate it.
So there you go. Felicity is using all her mad hacking skills to block them from accessing Rubicon. And now, Little Diggs to the rescue. I don't know. It's all very convenient that... I don't know how this was really a plan, where they were like, you know, just take an opportunity, Little Diggs, to, like, grab the gun from him.
It's just one of those times where you just had to suspend our disbelief.
I guess so. There's just, like, so many things that could have gone wrong in that scenario. Like, I don't know. Diggle could easily be dead.
Like, Diggle could have easily just grabbed one of those helmets.
I think you need to, like, let the helmet thing go a little bit, Annie. I don't know. I think it's fine. Especially if we're getting a new one, that's cool. I don't know. Did they, like, premiere that at Comic-Con or something?
No. David Ramsey said in an interview recently, I think just this week, he said that it's going to get an upgrade. But they did debut the concept art for Diggle's helmet at Comic-Con. Cool. And I was like, it looked good in the concept art, but then we saw the actual helmet. I'm like, it's a joke.
Aw, you were, like, less happy. Yeah, fair.
You know what? Diggle's helmet will be the one that is going to die in that gravestone. And the reason Felicity and Oliver are so disappointed about it is because they were, like, the only ones who liked it.
Nice. Fast-forwarding through the last set of commercials. So everybody's happy now, and they're all, they were like, hey, look, family is a big deal. And you didn't betray me.
And you are when we are butters. Are we back?
Back now. There we go.
I envy you for living in that beautiful city. Like, when you see that shot of the sky of the whole.
Oh, I'm pretty sure the skyline shots are not Vancouver. I wish.
Really?
I'm pretty sure that me and Mike, or like Mike, looked into this or something, and I think they're someplace else. Because like Vancouver's so iconic, I think that they've
could
done
be Toronto?
Like, some compositing of different places. I don't know. I feel like maybe they've composited a few different places because I think it can't be super identifiable. I don't know. I just know that there's no real.
It could be somewhere here in the States.
Yeah, and it could be, I don't know what it is, but I just know that it's not Vancouver for those wide ones, because they're missing so many, like, landmarks type things. Anyways, so here we have the sort of, they're all, what is this, decompressing at the Arrow Cave about his old brother, and doing, the transitions to the flashbacks in this scene, in this episode have been really good, too.
Yeah, I love it when Glenn Winter does it, though.
Is that a director?
Yeah, that's a director. He did Smallville, and he's very good at transition shots, and he did that on Arrow as well. I go back to season one specifically, and
here we go. Here's Ryder. Ryder.
The flashbacks might actually get more interesting.
I know, right? So this idea that they were doing an opium trade, but instead he's trading opium for something else. Isn't there also opium, like, on the island? Isn't that what they're doing? They're, like, trading drugs or something for something else?
I think so. I have cared so little about the flashback this season that I don't even know.
I know, right?
And of course they cut back to an illicit photo.
Because they're at home. So cute. Anyway, so yeah, so that's kind of cool, the idea that everything's coming full around, Ryder's in that flashback, and...
Oh, yeah. I don't know, I think it was just a mistake of bringing him back to the island this season, because, like, we know season 5 will be the final season when they do flashback. It may not be the final season of the show, but
I mean, Mike and I's theory, I really enjoy, and I hope that they still... Like, this is our theory, and I'm still sticking to it, that... For the fifth season, they're going to jump 5 years. And then they'll do flashbacks to the past 5 years. I don't know.
For season 6, I would do flash forward. So you can do flashback there. And then...
Exactly. And then you get filled in on the 5 years between what happened. And a lot of it, I think, I don't know. The reason Mike and I like that theory is because it gives us a chance to bring Connor into it. Because you can have, like, a grown-up kid if you flash 5 years forward, right?
Well, I think Connor Hogg is going to show up much, 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 much later in this universe because, well, you know he's coming to live tomorrow, right?
What?
Amanda Hogg and Connor Hogg is coming to Legends of Tomorrow, and...
Maybe I did know that.
Yeah, I think you must have known.
Mike may have said something on the last episode, and I just forgot between then and now.
Yeah. But I can actually tell you, because the news broke today, so minor spoiler, but Oliver Queen will be showing up on Legends of Tomorrow in episode 6. in 2046.
What? No way. Oh, that's pretty fun.
With Connor Hawke.
That's
And
super fun.
this was also part of the news. The Dark Knight Returns. Oliver Queen. That's all I will say.
Okay.
If
Good.
you,
Don't say more. I don't want to
yeah,
know.
you haven't read the book, right?
No.
Okay, good.
No.
Then you're about
Okay.
you're gonna get shocked. Okay, so
Excited.
we have this final Elicity scene. They're talking about that, you know,
Yeah,
we live in this
she's
world, it's magical, and anything is.
burning her old self. And
Yeah.
then, yeah, that was what I was saying, the idea that he's going to try to find a way
Yeah.
to make her.
But I hope he doesn't succeed with it. I think she should be
Yeah.
permanent. I think she should be paralyzed permanently. And that's not because I hate. It's not I hate or anything like that. I just think that there needs to be consequence to this thing that
Oh,
happened.
yeah.
Otherwise, there's no stakes again.
And there's a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, I did a little bit of research on, like, I studied disability theory a little bit when I was in my degree program and stuff like that. And the whole idea that, I mean, there's that it w she's gonna live a full life in this chair, and just because she's in a wheelchair, it's shouldn't just be like looked at as sort of a disability, but as sort of a new part of who she is, and that she's gonna navigate this world now in a wheelchair, and it's not
Yeah.
something to be fixed. It's just
Baby
a state of.
Sarah, look at baby Sarah
Yeah,
who's
this is like the
good.
first time we've seen like grown up baby Sarah. Like she's like more
Yeah, she
of
has
a
hair done.
person.
She
More of a
can
person.
see Uncle Andy.
Super cute. Yay,
Yeah.
babies. Love it.
Oh my God,
So
and
anyways, yeah.
here's the biggest twist of the episode. The episode actually ended with a happy ending.
I know, right? And now we're done. That's so crazy.
Oh my
So it
God.
ends, you know, Felicity is now a new superhero Overwatch.
Yes.
These next week on kind of cut out for me a little bit. I think I only got to watch like half of the next week on. Yeah, it totally it's done for me. Like, so I don't actually know what happens next week.
So what did you think as a whole?
You know what? I liked this episode more so than last week's. And again, though, some of it could just be because I gave it a little bit of time to digest. I didn't record right after watching the episode like usual.
Yeah, because we always have those. Like when we see an episode, even when we see really, really good episodes or something, we always have initial reactions to deal with.
Oh yeah. And I think something that's really good for me, is that I liked Felicity in this episode. I feel like a lot of my negativity, and I didn't think I was cringing a little bit at the beginning of this episode when they started doing the hallucinations, because I wasn't quite sure how that was going to go. But it came full circle for me. And I think that it was interesting where they went. And I think that if they establish her as this sort of Overwatch character, it has a lot of potential to be really interesting. And I'm sort of excited to see where that goes. So.
Yeah, I want to I really agree with you when you say that, you know, this was a I liked Felicity in this episode, even though I still think that this show has become too much about Felicity Smokingstone. This was one of the first times in a long time where I was like, this was a really, really good Felicity episode. It wasn't just
Yeah.
a classic Felicity episode where it's like, look how much they love each other, look how cute they are
Right,
when they
yeah.
kiss and so on. It's like, let's rub it even more in Andy's face and whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a very good Felicity episode. It's a very good Diggle episode. And not
Yeah.
only if Laurel and Fia could get the same treatment.
Yeah. Well, actually, and you know what? Now that you pointed out, that actually might be something that I really enjoyed about this episode, is that it wasn't necessarily about Elicity, it was about Felicity as a character and about Diggle as a character. And we don't actually really get to explore those two people as characters very often anymore. And I
Yeah.
think maybe that's what I liked the most about it. You're right, but we did get some really good character development, which was awesome.
Now I want. Can we talk? Let's talk about this Amanda Waller death because I have big issues with it.
Okay.
Okay. So Sarah Beth asked in her email, like, "Is it because of the movies like Deadshot?" Now let's think about it this way. The Suicide Squad is no more in on Arrow. They have not had Captain Boomerang back for a long time. Deadshot is gone, and. And they killed off like pretty much every member of the Suicide Squad except for Cupid and Harley Quinn. But we're not allowed to use Harley Quinn, so
Yeah.
technically she doesn't have a name in this universe. It is so difficult to not point fingers
The movies.
at the movies. Yeah, it's like it's
Yeah.
really difficult to not do that in this case because look, let's face it, Suicide Squad is coming out in August,
Yeah.
and.
So that's why.
Exactly. And it's so disappointing to me that it's like these showrunners and people, they're always saying that, you know, these people at the movie studios are saying that, oh, we're doing this because we want to give, you know, we separate into universes because we want to give them creative freedom. My ass that it is for that reason. Can I say that word on there?
Yeah, I'm sure
okay,
it's fine.
Okay, good.
She calls herself a badass in the episode. We're fine.
That's true. No, no. They can probably say whatever they want in the episode. But I was thinking like in terms of the podcast and so on. But yeah, but what do you think of the death of Waller? Do you?
Well, I think this was part of this super negativity that I think people were calling me and Mike out on last week's episode. But we just couldn't say anything good about the DC movies universe. I think that was like really where a lot of that came from, is that we are just super critical because DC Comics is our favorite. Like, we both love DC, and I think that they are just not honoring the properties that they have. And I find it hard to point fingers in any other direction other than the idea that they had done away with Suicide Squad, and therefore they'd done away with sort of the necessariness of having Amanda Waller in the season. So they just used it as a sort of really good plot device to just sort of be like, we're just going to kill her. Which, I mean, it worked good for this episode. It was shocking. It was exciting. But it does suck. Like, it sucks that Arrow, and this is something that I sort of said at the beginning, right? That Arrow keeps getting compromised because of other things that are outside of its power. And as the cornerstone show for DC, I understand that it has to do that, right? Its job is to sort of help the overall universe. But it kind of sucks individually for Arrow, like, as a show, that keeps happening to it. So,
yeah,
you know.
And because, like, you know, even if Viola Davis, you know, and look, here's the thing. I'm more positive toward the DC movies than maybe you and Mike are. Like I said, I think you guys just need to see the films before.
Yeah.
Like, for example, did you see that DC film special that they did last week, Dawn of the Justice League?
No.
Oh my god, you need to see it. I think it's on iTunes or something like that. Where it's like they did, like, Kevin Smith and Jeff Johns hosted this 20-minute little documentary of what's coming up in the D6.
Yeah. I saw parts of that. I didn't watch the whole thing though. But yeah. I heard good things.
Yeah, and it's like, I think people like are judging too much based on trailers or images or stuff like that. Like, we see the first footage for Wonder Woman, and oh my god, am I stoked for Wonder Woman. It's like,
oh, yeah, I saw that too. It looks really sweet.
Yeah, but for me, I agree, because if you're going to say, look, here's the thing. I'm still personally, like, pissed off with the whole separation between the two universes, because I would have loved to have seen Grant Gustin as the Flash. You know, Grant is my Flash. You know, I have nothing against Ezra Miller. I don't hate him, but it's like, to me, I think Grant has done such a great job, and the way he's been treated in terms of, like, they announced a new Flash one day after episode 2 of The Flash had aired in season 1, and it's like, I look at the concept art for the movie, for the Flash movie, so, and they how they're talking about it, and I'm like, sounds nothing different from the show or the comics. It's like, and it's going to be on at the same time as the show, and it's going to piss me off very much, and I feel in this instance, like, Arrow introduced Suicide Squad first, and they introduced Amanda Waller first, and Arc and stuff like that. So, like, why can't they just get to finish using them, like, till, you know, as long as they want to, and then, like, you know, it's like, it's,
I don't know, the
audience is not that stupid. Like, they're not that stupid. They understand, okay, it's two interpretations. It's like seeing Tobey Maguire and then Andrew Garfield and then Tom Holland. Why can't they do it with this?
Yeah, I mean, that's basically Mike and I's problem with it, is that we just feel as though they're undermining the intelligence of their audience by doing that. Where it's like, yeah, they had a great thing with Suicide Squad on Arrow. I think that they were doing something really exciting for television, and then that all got undermined with the movies. And I think that that's just something that, I think that's our biggest critique, right? Is that that's, I don't know, an issue and something that we're kind of sad about.
Because now, pretty much, you know, there is absolutely no more Suicide Squad. There's no Amanda Waller. Argus is probably going to go away unless, is this now where Lyra is going to take over?
Right, like, yeah. I mean, I'll be curious to see what they do with it in the next little while. But I think it could have just been a way for them to sort of like tie a little bow around the, like, Suicide Squad grave, if you will, and just be like, all right, we're just going to not deal with that for a little while. It's like, okay. If you need to do that, Arrow, then you go ahead. Then you do that, and we'll just, you know, see what comes. I don't know.
But it'll, yeah, no, it was, it's an insult to the character, because, you know, she kept going back and forth, and as a character, but I still didn't want to give up on her.
But I don't know. We'll see. It'll leave space for Suicide Squad, so
Yeah.
I don't know. See, I'll have to watch the movies. It'll be
Yeah,
good.
and I mean, Viola Davis is going to be amazing though as well, Emma
Oh
Wong.
yeah.
And you know, as soon as what it looks like, did you see the second trailer?
The one, I think we talked about it last week, the like fancy, like the one with the music that seemed out of place.
Oh right, okay. So you guys were able to talk. I totally forgot about it. Yeah, that's why I was like, you know, maybe when I started fading out a little bit because you guys were being not negative, but you were being so against it. I'm like, but Harley Quinn looks awesome, Mike. Stop complaining. I'm like,
She does. She is. This is the thing. I think Mike's thing is that she is. She's a perfect Harley Quinn. But I think people are just worried about the accent. I think people are just worried about it in general. It's one of these things when you're dealing with properties that everybody loves, you're a little bit more critical of it, which bringing full circle back into the idea of podcasting, and that it's just because we love something that we're critical of it. There you go.
yeah, exactly. No, but like, hopefully, when the movies all come out and so, and we're all gonna, you know, hopefully, some of us on DC Pug can come together, have a good discussion, and see what we all felt about it. And then I do feel like there are, you know, you guys, are you more excited for Batman vs Superman or Suicide Squad?
Oh, well, Batman versus Superman, but that's just because like Superman is my ultimate, like I love him so much.
Hell yeah.
I'm so exciting.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. But overall, this was a very good episode. This was a very fun episode, and like you said, it wasn't an Olicity episode. It was a Felicity episode.
Which is nice, yeah.
Yeah, if they can do more of that instead of shoving down Olicity down our throat and so on in every episode, then you know I can start giving Arrow some respect back and so on, because sometimes I will go and just feel that Arrow is being written by Tumblr or something like that, and you know. Sorry, but not sorry. But yeah, but this was like a very, very good episode, and I'm looking. You know, I saw the full promo for next week's episode, and
It looks good. Yeah, so it's next week is Unchained, I think, right?
yes.
So we have two guest stars that are coming back next week, right?
I think only it's only one guest star. It's Roy Harper, but we're gonna be getting introduced to.
IMDb is telling me that Nis is back next week.
I think that might be the case. I
I don't
can
know. IMDb is saying that both Nissa and Roy are going to be back, returning to Star City. So if that's true, I'm really excited. And then we have a yeah another villain. It's going to be. It kind of seems like an interesting one-off episode, which is going to be kind of nice.
Oh, no. There is no way this is a one-off episode.
It's going to be.
And because okay. I know you guys don't usually do this, but do you want me to read the official description for next week's episode?
No,
Okay.
because we don't like to sort of give, because some people choose not to watch the episode, the like preview, the like next week on. So
Okay.
I'm totally fine. I don't actually want to know that much. I like going
Okay.
into it without
Yeah.
stuff.
Well, you're right. Roy Harper and Nissa, they both make their returns, but they're going to introduce a very interesting character that I think.
People are gonna like
I don't know
or hate.
about no not hate or like, but it's a very interesting character that's connected to one of our characters.
Okay. Nice.
So
Okay.
yeah, so
Cool.
Unchained airing on February 3rd. Oh my god, can you
Yay.
believe we're already in a new month soon?
No, it's really upsetting, Andy. It's really upsetting.
Are you messing with me right now, or are you actually feeling like this?
I'm actually feeling like this. I feel like this month has gone by way too fast. I'm turning 30 this year, Andy. So like I'm
You
just
look
like
nothing like
not.
30.
Oh, you're so kind.
You look
But it does.
35. No,
Oh,
I'm
hey.
kidding. You look like you're
On
like
that
what?
note,
You look like you're 25 or something like that.
it's,
So no, don't judge your
I'll
don't.
embrace it. I'll embrace it. It's just that
Yeah.
like, I want that, time is going quickly.
Yeah, it is. It is really going quickly. Like, you know, we're almost here. You know, Deadpool is almost here. You know, for.
Oh, actually, that's gonna be kind of cool. I'm
Oh
excited.
my god, it's gonna. It looks. Every TV spot and every trailer looks just so much
Gonna be
fun. But yeah, I'm gonna shut up now, so you can do
fun.
your
No,
plugs.
that's great. Well, why don't you let us know, first of all, if people want to sort of follow you on stuff, where we can find. We talked a little bit about how to email you, but do you have places where people can listen to the Flash podcast?
Yeah, they can find it on the flashpodcast.com website, where we cover all the latest news about the Flash with trailers, descriptions, and stuff like that. And also where you can get the latest episode of the Flash podcast and other cool things. And you can follow it on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Instagram, all under the Flash Podcast, simple as that. And we're on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and if people want to email us about things, questions or recommendations, stuff like that, theflashpodcast@gmail.com is the best way to get in touch with us, or on Twitter at theflashpodcast. If they want to find me personally, they can follow me on Twitter at anybackht, which is BHBAKHT. I'm an entertainment journalist for Heroic Hollywood and TV Overmind, so you can check out all my TV and movie stuff that I write. Wow. And I'm also the founder and editor-in-chief of The Marvel Report, which is an awesome Marvel fan website which covers, well, the world of Marvel. TV, comics, movies, video games, everything that's due in Marvel. So themarvelreport.com and on Facebook and Twitter, all under The Marvel Report. And yeah, also like make sure to check out all the other great shows that we do on DCPodcast.com.
Yeah, awesome. As many people know, so Quiver Podcast can be found many different places on the internet. Mike usually does this part. What is it? Okay, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're just Quiver Podcast, facebook.com/Quiver Podcast. You can email us, mail@quiverpodcast.com. And like I say, we're going to be really looking forward to reading those emails. So you get now a little bit of time to send those in. You can also follow us individually, and I'm at A Konkin, AKONKIN, and you can just add an 86 to that for Instagram. What did I miss? So we've got our email address. You can follow us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter. And then
Subscribe on iTunes.
And subscribe on iTunes, yeah. So Quiver Podcast on iTunes. Actually, something that we haven't talked about in a while is the rating systems as well. If you like Quiver or dislike us, you know, rate us. It's kind of fun and interesting to see sort of where people are going, and it's good for us. So jump onto iTunes and give us a rating. And then also you can check out the Thunderquack Podcast Network. And so that's where there's a whole bunch of we also have our Patreon going on for Thunderquack. So if you're interested in the podcasts, Mike does a whole bunch of other podcasts. We also have the Double X Files podcast, which now started. So very exciting that the X coming back, X Files, and a whole bunch of stuff. So you can check that out, Thunderquack.com.
No, it's just Thunderquack.
Just Thunderquack.com. Thank you, Andy.
It's all right. I that's what I'm here for, to just help out. And nice. Yeah, there's a lot of awesome podcasts on that network. So, you know, like if you like Star Wars and Doctor Who.
Yeah, which is exciting. I'm finally catching up with that. And you can also follow us. You can also go to our website. So quiverpodcast.com is probably the main source where you can find everything else, and also all the news on Quiver and on Arrow and all that jazz, and you can actually find out about upcoming episodes for Arrow. So it's good. It's exciting.
Yeah,
Follow us.
And then also the Facebook group that you guys have.
Yeah, so that's actually something we don't really advertise that too much because it's so big, but it's really exciting. So if you actually go onto the Quiver, facebook.com/Quiver Podcast, there's actually a group as well that you can sometimes find the link for if you sort of scroll through and search around on there, but it's our group for the Quiver Podcast with our awesome moderators. And there's a spoiler talk group as well. So if you want to actually talk about the episodes without spoiling it for other people, there's a place that you can go on there. But otherwise, it's sort of a good group of people and a good way to talk about the show if you want more information.
Yeah, good stuff.
Awesome. Okay, well, that's everything for today. So we'll see you next week for Unchained. And Andy, do you wanna take us out with our famous extra?
Thank you guys so much for listening, and stay sharp, Arrowheads. we do a post-credit scene, by the way, like you guys do?
We can if you want. That's usually just, I mean, me and Mike just start like talking about random things. So if we want to add some discussions at the end, it might be good to get your opinion on Flash or things like that. So at the end, we can maybe talk a little bit about anything that we didn't get to talk about, and you can just keep recording.
Okay. Oh yeah, I could
That's
do that.
what it is. We just like keep recording and see what comes out. So
We could do this as that our post-credit scene as people start to learn about our process.
That's true. Are you recording?
Yeah, I'm recording. I'm doing this is what I always do with my show. I do a test recording with my host just to make sure that I, if we start recording and then we just stop talking and talking, then after an hour, I'm like, and I test the audio and it's not working. I'm like, ooh, shoot, guys, we're gonna have to re-record this again. And so that's why I always do like a 5 or 10 minute test recording and just to make sure that everything is fine. And then but then I also had to, I one time, so at one point I reinstalled my recorder and then, like, I haven't had a problem since then.
Nice. I so many times when I was just starting out, audio was always the worst thing. Like I would just get so many mistakes.
What other podcast did you do before Quiver?
So I actually was did a thing called Four Geeks Media. And it was just like me and three of my like really close friends. We went around to conventions and stuff in like Vancouver, and in we went to like LA, and we went to LeafyCon in Portland and things like that. And we just did like little vignette interviews. There's a bunch of stuff on YouTube that's really terrible, but we just like recorded things. And like I got to meet the people from what was it? Husbands is a web series that Jane Espenson from Buffy
Oh
like
yeah.
created. And so there's just like a bunch of different like people that we got to meet that were really cool. So it was just like an awesome time. Like my buddy Andrew, who was one of the guys, got to meet Claire Kramer, and what at LeakyCon we got to meet the people from Lizzie Bennet Diaries and some Harry Potter people. Like it was just really, really cool. So we just like got some recording equipment and like really terrible cameras and just like put some YouTube videos up. It was just like fun. It was just like starting to figure out like what is the potential of like this kind of stuff. And then
Yeah.
we just did it for fun. Like we just did it because we wanted to, so.
When's the last time you did an episode of that show?
Oh my goodness. It's been so long. I think we stopped like 2 years ago. I actually just let the URL lapse. So we had forgeeksmedia.com for a really long time. And it was like a cool website, like where it sort of like had all our episodes and it had a little bit about us. And anyways, we just like hadn't used it for so long, so I just like finally let it lapse.
Oh no, I totally get it. I know at some point, I'm gonna have to let go of the URL for my first podcast I ever like created with my own thing was a Shield podcast called Helicarrier, and that I ended that like last year. So in 3 months, I'm letting go of that URL because for some reason it auto renewed after,
Oh no.
and I was like,
Yeah.
but I don't. But I was too late to get in touch with GoDaddy, and I was like,
Oh
okay,
right, yeah.
I'm like, and who knows, maybe I can put it to use. And then I'm like, I got so busy with producing all these other DC podcasts and launching the Marvel Report, and now I'm working with all these websites and stuff like that. So I'm like, yeah, I don't think I'm gonna be able to do it.
I know. It's like the saddest thing I think in doing a whole bunch of creative projects is recognizing when to let the past projects go. And I think that's got to be one of the hardest things for any creators that are you sort of amass a bunch of stuff and the quality of the thing you create changes as well as you keep moving forward.
I
And
know.
I know that like there's some stuff that was just atrocious. But I mean, obviously I wouldn't be where I am today if I hadn't done that stuff. So like I
Exactly.
recognize
Yeah, exactly.
that.
We all start somewhere. Like if I hadn't started with, the few first podcasts that I did, I don't think I would have ever done the Flash podcast. And it's, this is gonna sound so weird, but it changed my life in many ways, honestly,
Oh yeah.
because, how should I put it? It's because I made so many connections, and not necessarily to the show. Like, yes, we have a couple people from the show following us on Twitter. I met them a few times at Comic Con, but I would have never met, for example, Amy and Lauren. Although
Right.
I met Lauren before the Flash podcast, but like, I would have never been able to get to work with her. I would have never met Amy, for example, or Adam, what and whatnot. And I would have never, done I would have never been able to put together DC podcast, you know, like, because that's, you know, one of the funniest things is that, you know, we're all together now in a way, even though we're not always working together, but we're, you know, we stand as a network and as a unit. And so it's
Yeah.
like, yeah, so it's like, even though those small other projects that you did first, it's like, they may have been a drag or something like that first, but at least it took us to something where we are like, you know, heck, you are now the only Green Arrow podcast on the internet that has
Right, yeah.
ever interviewed Stephen Amell. Like,
Which is so cool,
I
yeah.
watched that video the other day, and it's like, so you guys just did it in the comic book store in Vancouver, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just like was so lucky that he was here. We were talking about how we're like really sad that it, I mean, we're so grateful, but it happened so early on in the podcast that we just like, we want to do, we just got like such a, like a yearning to do more, and
Well,
we
you know what
just
you
wanted
should.
them.
Here's something I would recommend. Okay, what comic book conventions are there in Vancouver?
Oh yeah, there's a few. Like there's we have a bunch of fan expos and different smaller ones. And I mean, I know that definitely Stephen Amell and people from Arrow are at certain ones here.
Because you know what you could do is that you can always like apply your podcast to like as a media access or something like that. So you can,
Yeah.
because I'm sure if he heard that you guys were there, and like because you know. You know, yes, interviews are always sometimes tricky to get, but you know they
Yeah.
can be fun, and you know they can be fun to do either way. And especially when you're at a convention or something, because that's when you really
Just
are there
easier,
with,
yeah.
exactly, you're there
Yeah.
with the fans. And
Yeah.
because I could totally get that, you know, because it was, what was it? It was a season one, but it was season two, I think, when Steven was like putting out the request on Facebook of,
Yeah,
how did that feel, by the way, of having like so many people say quiver, quiver, quiver is the best.
yeah. That was the coolest. I mean, the whole reason you do a podcast is because of the community, right? Like, it's not as if, like, that's who you're talking to. You're talking to the other fans, and you just, like, are part of a collective, and you're discussing something that you love. And so that was, it was really exciting to see that people remembered us and really wanted to, like, fight for us. So that was probably the coolest thing that came out of that. I know that Mike's tried, or Mike, because he has his other podcasts too, right? All the Clone Wars and Rebels and all that.
Oh, you mean all
So,
those other 500 podcasts that he's doing?
yeah, I know all the, you know, the 500 that he does. But he's gone to Fan Expo a couple times as media just to get different interviews and different things. And I actually went with 4Geeks Media to Fan Expo to do stuff like that a long time ago. But it's all just a different. I think last year the reason that we couldn't go, I was doing something else that week. Oh yeah, no, I was in like the midst of like filming for something or something, so I couldn't go. So he wound up like going with Crystal and doing like just focusing on different things. So I don't know. It's just like it's about opportunity and about us. I mean, we're quite terrible with like follow up for Quiver. I know that there's like we have all these grand plans about all these things that we're gonna do, and I feel like eventually we will. But like at the same time, like it's a lot for us to just like get together once a week and like podcast and get that out. So like all these other plans, we do have so many things in the works that we'd like to do, but it's hard to I don't know, I think get stuff together and figure out exactly
I get
how
that.
to do that.
Yeah, no, I get that. And you know, but something that you know, the you know, I something that is cool for you guys though is that since you guys live in the same city, you got you know that you guys have that accessibility and so on. And
Oh yeah.
I love that we're pretty much like you know tell you know like if this is our code for the listeners and they like this is how creative projects works. And it's like it's not as easy as it sounds because I always have people asking me, well, how do you do this? How do you do this? And so on. But like, that must be super easy, right? I'm like, no. It's like, it's one thing to get a podcast server or a website server or something like that. But then, you know, you need a team.
Yeah.
You need
Oh yeah.
inspiration and execution and stuff like that. So, but
I
yeah.
mean, we don't do any of the stuff on our website. Like, that's all. Like, we, like, and fa the Facebook group, like, basically, we just have, like, the best people that are part of Quiver, right?
Well,
That
thank
are,
you.
like, working all, yeah, right? Exactly. Like, that
Yeah.
are doing all of the different things. Because there's just, like, no way that, like, Mike and I could do that. So, you know,
Yeah, but it's
Quiver's more than just the people that are, like, on the
yeah,
podcast.
and it's like you know, it's not like you guys don't care. It's the fact. It's just that you know, you do care, but you're so busy that, but you care so much that you want to get people that can do, you know, website stuff or the group stuff and you know, social media and stuff like that. So, yeah, no, I think you know, you guys are doing an amazing job. I mean, like, heck, you're to me in many ways, you guys are the definitive Arrow podcast on the webs, and you know, I think. You're the rarest one too, because everyone does, the classic of, let's discuss an episode after this aired, but now I'm watching it, but you guys talk about it, so like you watch it first off air, off, yeah, and then you watch it again, but you still do as a great discussion. So
We
yeah,
try. It's
exactly.
good. I like it. It's a format that works for us. 'Cause I mean, the thing is, and the where this came from, right? I mean, Mike and I just did this anyways, right? Like if we were watching something that we liked, we would just sit down and watch it and talk about it. And then we were like, other people need to know what we're saying. This
Yeah.
is fun. This is great. People want to hear this. So,
Exactly. And it's like I actually did this back in season 2 or 3. I think it was season 3 sometimes. I would put on the episode of the air episode, but I would put it on mute, put on captions, and then I would put on the Quiver episode. So there was one
You
time
do
when
commentary, yeah, sweet.
Yeah, there was one time when you were talking and Quentin was talking when your audio and his mouth moving kind of synced, so
That's awesome.
it looked like Quentin was talking as Amanda Conkin, and then there was one point when Felicity was talking like Michael, and I'm like, this is I should do this more often.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Now where are before we start, where are you at on the Flash? The Flash bug needs to know where you are at.
I know, I know. I did. I was thinking, actually, as I was walking to work today, Andy, I legitimately was like, oh my God, Andy's going to ask me about the Flash tonight. What?
He's gonna be
Because
so sad.
I was so upset. But no, I actually am pretty sure that I caught up. I haven't watched yesterday, like a Tuesday's episode, but I'm pretty sure I watched the one when we first came back. It was
The turtle episode?
the turtle episode. So I
Yeah.
watched the turtle episode.
Okay,
Just haven't seen.
here's my rule, if you don't want to disappoint me. As long if it's gone over a week and you haven't seen the latest episode, that's when you should feel have a bad conscience. And that's but if it's only been like 2 or 3 days, then the Andy parameter is still like, you're still good, you're still good. And so yeah, and then it's like, I don't know, it's so funny because I do the Flashpoint, a lot of my friends will always be like, Andy, I'm sorry, I haven't seen the latest episode. I'm like, it's fine. And then they go, Andy, we haven't seen the last 5 episodes. I'm like, you're dead to me.
Oh, okay. Well, I was dead to you many, many times last year,
No,
Andy.
no, 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 no.
Like,
Wait, no,
clearly.
but look, with Arrow, you put yourself in the last episode and you come back. There's no stakes. That's the thing. There's no stakes. You
Yeah,
just put
fair.
your Lazarus pit and you come back. And although this episode will be interesting to discuss, but
Yeah.
yeah, but no, but I am. This week's episode is a really, really, really good one of the Flash. It's called The Reverse Flash Returns.
Oh, right, because that's how that ended, was him. Okay. I'm actually, yes, actually, I forgot about that. I'm excited. I'm excited.
Yeah,
It'll be.
and exactly, and there's Legends. Where are you at Supergirl,
Oh, no, that I'm so far. So
though?
far.
Well,
I think I've like watched like three episodes, so.
Supergirl is. I will say, tell you this, that I've enjoyed Supergirl season 1 a little bit more than I've done Arrow season 4, even though Arrow is improving.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
So,
good.
okay. So that's a. Okay, that's our post-credit scene, you guys. So now, if you will rewind the tape, we will go
Oh,
to the
no.
beginning of
That's awesome.
episode 11 of Quiver season 4.
Yay. Thanks, Annie. That was awesome.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's